I got a cookie on my finger! Hi.
Cookies.
How's it going, Jazzy?
It's going good.
Are y'all jazzed for tonight's show?
Oh, am I ever.
Did I wake you up with that little holla holla? So, do you know what we're doing today?
Partying, talking.
Partying. Sorta. Kinda. Maybe.
Cookie toss?
Cookie. What? No, don't toss the cookies. No tossing of cookies.
I can't toss them into your mouth?
No, they have to be shot with firecrackers.
Okay.
Just so that we're all on the clear level page and the level playing field, everything's Roger, Roger, Rick, and Marilyn. And I should stop saying that, even though it is a local radio show. However, that's all good and groovy. Today's show is brought to you by darkness, because it's everywhere. And just to be clear, the opinions and thoughts and everything that we say on this show is our opinions and doesn't necessarily reflect anybody related to the show, working for the show, consumed by the show, or killed by the show. We are here to dead you up, as it were.
Woo-hoo.
So tonight's show, I thought it would be spiffy as heck, because I like that word, spiffy, to talk about top fives. And I know that you've probably got a couple, Jazzy. I know I've got several. And I'm sure a few people in the chat room will probably pipe in a couple of words once in a while, too. So, seeing as how I'm a gentleman zombie, I'm going to let you go first. What are your top five movies, Jazzy?
Okay, so I have to warn you guys, I have an eclectic taste in movies and music, and they are here, there, and everywhere. I love pretty much everything. So, some people may not like my top five. And I can't put them in an order, either. But one of my top fives is The Patriot. So,
you're going to have to tell me a little bit about it, because I don't know it.
Okay, The Patriot is about the war where America's fighting against the British to break apart. And I'm not sure that it's very accurate in the whole war sense in them. But it was just a great movie that me and my dad could sit around and joke around, because there's a lot of there's fighting scenes, and they had a lot of what I would call hilarious ones. There was one we made joked around about, a splitting headache, because they threw a tomahawk right into the guy's forehead. Kind of bad of us, but
uh-huh.
What can I say? It is a splitting headache, right?
Is that the one with Mel Gibson in it?
Yeah, it has Mel Gibson in it.
Okay, I saw a commercial for that. I saw a commercial for that.
Yeah. It had Mel Gibson and Heath Ledger in it.
Ooh, you mean the Joker?
Yeah, the Joker when he was younger.
And still alive.
And, yeah, still alive. So, to go on the total opposite end of the whole movie thing, I would have to say Rent.
Rent?
Have you heard of that one?
The musical?
Yeah.
I have heard of it, yes. If I remember it correctly, they make a lot of noise.
They make a fair share of noise. So
why do you like that one?
The singing, the way the community comes together to help out one another, and
oh, you like the feel good get together type group thing.
I do like those.
Gotcha.
I mean, what girl wouldn't like those?
I know a couple.
Okay, I'm the type of girl that I love the happy, feel-good, go-lucky movies, but can't really watch them a lot with my friends because they all like the more action movies. So, let's see.
So, what other kinds of movies?
Okay, another happy feel-good one. Happy Feet.
Well, at least Happy Feet I've seen. Happy Feet at least I've seen.
Okay.
And thought was amusing. I thought it was a fun movie. It was definitely a kids-type movie, but definitely a fun little movie.
Well, see, that's the best thing about my job right now is I'm a nanny. I get to sit down and watch kids' movies with the little kids and not be like, I'm a 25-year-old watching children's movies just to watch them. So, I mean, some of them I really like, but some of them, like Cars, I could care less about ever watching that one again.
Okay. So that's three.
That's three. Okay. Let's see. Avatar.
Ooh, I've seen and liked that one too.
I saw it. Oh, did I see it in regular? I know I saw it in 3D. In the theaters.
Did you jump a lot? Ah, look, things scary coming at me. Ah! Fireflies! What? Get them out of my face! Ah! I did that once, the fireflies thing.
I don't think I jumped at all in that one. I do get jumpy with some movies, like the really intense ones. The first time I saw The Haunted, I jumped a lot in that one. But I was like a little kid watching it, and it was like, scary, scary to me. But now I can watch it and laugh. Like, no, don't go through that door. Ha ha, you're dead now. So.
He's dead, Jim. He's dead.
Let's see, what do we have? Are we at four?
You're at four. One more.
One more. Hmm. What can make my list?
I know I'm got a pretty good guess what your next one is, but I'm not going to mention it.
Okay, what do you think it is?
I think it has something to do with vampires. I could be wrong, though. I could be.
Are you thinking the sparkly kind?
I'm thinking that was the case.
Okay, I will tell you guys, I'm sorry, I like Twilight, but I don't think it's top five quality.
Good, good, good. Brow is now wiped and saved clear. It is not in a top five.
I have the first two in my DVD collection, but it's not top five quality. I'm sorry.
Excellent. But
I also think, no, TJ, don't yell at me about Twilight. I don't think of Twilight as a vampire movie. I'm sorry. My vampires don't sparkle.
Good. Mine don't either.
I think of Twilight more as a very bad romantic movie.
That would be one description to go with.
And everyone argues with me about that. I'm like, it's not a vampire movie. I'm sorry. Vampires don't sparkle. You know what I really like, and it's very funny? The Miss Congeniality movies.
Okay. I will say I enjoyed the first one because I'm a big fan of Sandra Bullock. Love Sandra Bullock. I think her comedy is awesome off the charts. And I loved the first movie. I didn't see the second movie because it looked kind of stupid, but...
My parents thought I had the first one, and so for Christmas they bought me the second one. So I still need to go out and get the first one, but the second one is just as funny. It takes place in Las Vegas, and I really like that one. So
okay,
that set.
But so that's your top five then.
That would have to be my top five favorites. I'm not sure. There's only one movie that I could think of for being
in like, your bottom five?
In my bottom five, and that I would never want to watch again.
Okay.
No, I take that back too.
Okay, so that one too?
Well, we've already talked about this on another show.
The Witch?
Spider-Man.
Oh, yes.
Ugh.
Well, you're saying Spider-Man is in one of your worst?
Well, Spider-Man 2. I could not get through it. I was just like, yawn, bored, turn it off, I'm done.
Okay. I can agree with that.
I just have no desire to ever... pick it up and watch it again, you know? But another one was What Lies Beneath. I was just so lost with that entire one. Like, I couldn't figure things out with it.
Okay. And what was What Lies Beneath about?
Well, I can actually grab this DVD.
Uh-oh. Don't do it.
I have
it's not
it on
worth
DVD. It.
It
was on sale, and I got it for a trip.
So, you have, in your collection, one of the movies you hate.
I do.
Okay.
I probably sat down to watch this about 20 times and couldn't get through it until the last time I watched it, and I was like, yeah, never watching that again. I'll read the back cover for you guys.
Okay.
In this exciting supernatural thriller, Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer play a seemingly happily married couple who uncover a terrible secret. A secret so disturbing, it threatens to destroy them. When Claire Spencer begins seeing ghostly images and hearing mysterious voices in their home, her husband, Norman, suspects it's just her imagination until the images turn real. Now together, they must uncover the truth, confront their worst fears, and find what lies beneath. With twisting and terrifying results.
Sounds fun!
It was just like... I don't know if it was just very slow going, but it seemed to start off very slow and just kind of seemed to go nowhere. I don't think it was... one of the best made movies.
Okay. So you thought it was boring, basically.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep through it a few times.
All right. Well, at least two out of your five movies I've seen. Sorry, the good movies. Bad movies. Oh, I have seen one of your bad movies. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I agree with your assessment on your three bad movies. I would choose a different one over the Spider-Man 2, but I would agree, Spider-Man 2 was not great. However, it was better than the third one.
I didn't even touch the third one because of the second one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Well, okay. So, as I mentioned in all of our lead-up to tonight's show, we've also got a very special thing happening on this show. We are going to have an interview, part one of, that I performed with Mr. Mark McLaughlin. So we're going to get close to here, and I'm going to ask EW to roll the tape soon, and we'll sit back and listen to that wonderful interview. Thanks for coming on and joining us on After Rot. We have Mark McLaughlin, a wonderful writer of many fine books. As I look through the little list of books that he has, crap, that's a whole crap load of books. Hello, Mark. How's it going?
All pretty good, Zombie Zach. How are you today? Dead as usual, I'm taking it.
And I'm always amazing as well.
Yes.
Oh.
So, I understand you're Canadian.
What? Canadian? What? Wee bit.
Yeah, Canadian zombie. This is my first interview with a Canadian zombie.
Well, that's excellent. This is my first interview for the After Rot show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I decided to pick one that's actually a good guy. I mean, look. You got, like, a couple of awards here, like, thing. Like, I see a Stoker in there somewhere. It's like, that's a great way to start an interview process, isn't it?
Yeah, I won me one of them fancy Bram Stoker awards at one point my highly illustrious career.
They're pretty little statues. I've seen pictures of them. They look neat.
Yeah, it's a little haunted house, and I won it for the Gossamer Eye, a poetry book that I wrote with Rain Graves and David Niall Wilson. And as soon as I got it home, the cat tipped it over and broke off one of the tiny little chimneys.
Don't tell anyone that.
I think it gives it character. It's a dilapidated haunted house. It's missing a chimney.
I assume it's...
I gave the chimney to a friend, and she cherishes it. She says it looks like a little mummy toe.
Awesome. That's
not like a mojito. It doesn't look like a drink made out of rum and crushed mint leaves. Not a mummy mojito, but a mummy toe.
That's adding... character and spreading the joy, is it not?
Well, yes. Maybe I should break up the entire award and give little pieces to all my friends.
Yeah, I'm sure the horror powers that be would love to hear that, spreading out all the little bits of the horror amongst everyone.
Nah, I won't do that. Because now I've gotten people's hopes up, thinking... All my friends who listen to this out in radio land now think, yeah, I'm going to get me a piece of that. Now, nah, it's not going to happen. I was just leading them on.
Just give them some bath salts instead.
Sending their hopes soaring into the night sky and then plummeting to earth like the contents of a flushed airline toilet. I mean, why do I do these things? Why do I crush people's dreams? Sad, really.
Because that's what horror is all about, is it not? Finding that magic little moment and saying, I'm bringing you, and then I'm killing you.
Yes, you've crystallized my thoughts exactly.
Much fun, yeah. Much fun. So, what is there to do out there in that part of the land? What's for fun? How do we have our own little happiness and joy?
How do you have happiness and joy in life?
Yes.
Or in life in general, in today's modern world?
That would be the one I'm looking for.
Yeah, see, here it goes, Zombie Zach. I'm glad, because I come to you and your Radioland listeners with a message today. A message about happiness.
Ooh.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Want to hear it?
Yes, please. I would love to.
Yes, well, here's the 411. See, as we read the papers and look at the internet, we're seeing people are becoming more disjointed in their lives, and there's more fragmentation of their attention, and this is resulting in things like the Miami Face Eater, and and I like saying it that way, the Miami face eater, and all these other incidents of, like, you know, people, like the one guy who, like, cut himself open and was chewing on his guts and was flinging bits of it at the police, and that woman who was, like, also was on that same stuff that the Miami face eater was on, and who was, like, threatening her own kid until the police had to, like, taser her, I guess, to death, you know?
Yep.
And so, but see, I think that today's world is becoming so complex because we're having so much, the human mind, everybody's human mind, as opposed to our chicken minds or, you know, ferret minds, our human minds are being divided so much by all the internet and all the channels and all the papers, all the things we have to keep up with, all the devices. People are texting while they're driving and crashing into other people. You know, we have our devices. We never have time to ourselves. We don't even have time for our loved ones. We're living in having dinner with people, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I got to answer this call, and I got to send a few tweets. And while I'm talking to you and eating dinner, I got to post a few things about on my Facebook page. You know,
hold
I mean, we've
hold
become...
on a second, Mark. Mark, hold on
yeah,
a second.
Yeah.
I gotta do a Facebook update here. Okay.
Well,
okay, I'm done.
Sending,
go ahead.
I've been
keep
sending
going.
Tweets. I've been sending tweets even as I'm doing this, you know.
Well, of course. I'm on Facebook right now talking as I'm doing. I'm a multitasker, man. I hit many different things all at the same time.
Yes, multitasking, Zombie Zach, but to what end and to what grisly results that can only lead to tragedy? How long, I was going to say, how long it will be before you're eating faces? But you're a zombie. You eat faces every day. You eat them for breakfast.
Precisely. I wasn't going to say anything about that.
Well, you know, and I really love those face omelets you make. Now, that is a really good use of face meat. I mean, it combines with the eggs and the sour cream so well.
And don't forget
the
cookies.
Impressed. Yeah, but you know, but today's world is so... People just don't know how much the everyday busy life is literally turning them into zombies. The busyness of business, that's where you get the word busyness, business, and their private lives and all those machines and all those channels and everything like that is making them enter a fugue state. And you know what a fugue state is, don't you?
I am aware, yes.
Yes, I knew you would be with your mini scholastic zombie degrees.
Ooh.
Yes, you went to Zombie U, I believe, right?
I did, ZZU.
And so you get these people out there entering these fugue states, and they are becoming much like the living dead. They don't know what to do next, what to turn. Their mind is all fragmented, and that is why I wrote Beach Blanket Zombie, available now from Wildside Books.
Yay, Beach Blanket Zombies!
Yeah, Beach Blanket Zombie. There's many stories in there about zombies and different kinds of zombies and how they became zombies and why they are still zombies and what they do as zombies. And through the guidance of Beach Blanket Zombie, I'm thinking this book, in fiction form, is also more or less your guide to the upcoming zombie apocalypse.
Because it is coming.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and when it comes, it will begin on the beach, like so many wars and whatnot.
Ooh, is it like there's buckets full of blood there as well?
Oh, buckets of blood by the bucket.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. Bucket loads by the pail.
So pant loads of blood, bucket loads of zombies... And all kinds of fun, throwing in the sun, going, wee, party time.
Because you got to remember, all things begin on the beach. When life came from the sea, where did it go from the sea when it got to the land? A cornfield?
No, it went up a tree.
A donut shop? A tree? A forest? No. You know, Kirstie Alley's house? Maybe. But more importantly, and then she ate it. Oh, that was... And so then, no, life, when it came onto land, it got there on the beach. All pivotal things happen on the beach. And so, that's why I wrote Beach Blanket Zombie. It's a metaphor for the next beach assault.
So let me get this
humanity,
straight.
Humanity, yes.
You're saying that the next paradigm shift in human evolution is going to start at the beach.
You bet.
And everybody should get their sunscreen together, get their umbrellas, and kiss their butts goodbye.
Well, just look at today's newspapers. The Miami Faith Eater. What you got in Miami? What you got a lot of that's covered with sand? A lot of beach.
Old people.
And beaches.
Lots of beaches, yes.
Yes, Golden Girls.
And old people.
And what did some of the Golden Girls look like? Zombies.
That, yes, you're correct. The analogy sitting there is like, wow, that's mind-boggling. It's true.
It's the truth has been staring us in the face with runny, pustulant zombie eyes. We just have not had the courage to look at it and say, yep, that's it.
Look at crocodiles. They're one of the few creatures that have still existed from prehistoric times. What do they look like? Old zombies. Look at their skin.
Exactly. The snouts.
Exactly. They've been like for ageless all this time. They're really the zombie progenitors, aren't they?
And also, cockroaches, the zombies of the insect world. And yet if we didn't have cockroaches, you know what would happen to life as we know it?
It would overgrow.
No, actually, a lot of species would go extinct because cockroaches breed so quickly and they provide food for so many other minor predatory species that we would have a completely different world without cockroaches, because not only do they eat the waste and convert a lot of waste into nitrogen, which is very good for the soil,
yep,
and also feed a lot of the smaller species like, you know, frogs and I suppose cats. I mean, a cat will eat a cockroach. And a lot of birds. See, without the cockroach, the zombie of the insect world, the world, we'd have far less species because those species wouldn't have anything to eat. People forget that zombies are such an important part of today's ecosystem.
I would, as everybody here should know, tend to agree with that wholeheartedly.
What would you be a zombie yourself?
Precisely. And being a fan of?
You convert human flesh into nitrogen every day, I hear.
It's more like methane, but it's close enough.
And again, providing rich sustenance for the soil in Canada.
Yes, because you know that from outer space, aliens are going to see the planet and say, hey, they got cows down there. Oh, and look, zombies, because look at all that methane up there.
And if it weren't for you alone, Canada, without your valuable contribution in nitrogen form to the surrounding terrain, Canada would be a barren wasteland, void of life.
Well, I guess you haven't gone up to the far north. It's all rock up there.
It's a lot of what?
It's a big Canadian shield full of rock.
Sounds lovely.
I'm sure it is to somebody, not to me. But the rest of Canada is beautiful.
Because you haven't been spreading your zombie nitrogen effluvium up there. I mean, you got to take a little responsibility for this as a Canadian, Zach. As a Canadian zombie, have you been doing your duty in spreading your zombie effluvium evenly over the entirety of that illustrious Commonwealth?
Absolutely.
You have? Really?
Well, absolutely. Because you notice I used the word tootly in there, because it's toot toot. We don't pollute. We spread our effluvium and make it work.
So now, as a Canadian, do you like, what is your relationship to England?
Well,
I've never understood, what is the relationship to Canada and England right now?
Oh, well, we're friendly. We still honor the Queen. We do not report to the Queen. However, we do have the Queen's representative in the House of Parliament. I think the only real duty she does is that she dissolves Parliament when they have an election and changes government. And there's some other stuff that they do.
You don't get to send her emails on, how you doing? You know, you and her aren't that close, huh?
Well, I believe she does have a webpage where that can be done. I never particularly partaken because I'm not a monarchist, but I don't mind the monarchy.
Do you call her Shizzy?
Me, myself, never have, and I don't think I've ever quite met anybody who has, but I'm sure there is somebody.
Because that is a legitimate nickname for Elizabeth, and I was thinking, well, you know, it's kind of an urban nickname for Elizabeth, mm-hmm. So I was thinking, you know, you could call her Shizzy, and, you know, Zach, hey, Shizzy. You don't do that, huh?
Somehow I think the guys with the big hats might take offense to that, just a wee bit.
Are you telling me her email address isn't shizzy@buckinghampalace.com?
I'm willing to bet probably at least $5 that is the case, not.
Well, if not, who's been answering those emails from me?
That's probably Santa Claus.
That person has a lot to answer for.
Well, Santa, you know, he is doing that. He is a zombie too, right?
Santa Claus?
Yeah.
It's a common mistake. He's a zombie master. It's the elves and the reindeer who are zombies.
This is correct. They've been doing it for quite a few years. A couple of decades, I believe.
He's the Papa Noa of the North Pole. You know, he's got his little voodoo. It's a voodoo domain up there in the North Pole. And being the author of Beach Blanket Zombie, I know this because I had to do just so much research on zombies.
I was going to say... Have you ever done a Santa or a holiday-themed zombie story?
Oh, I've done... I'd have to think about that. I've certainly done Christmas horror stories.
Ooh,
and
Christmas horror.
Oh, one of my most renowned and certainly provocative is Deck the Halls with Guacamole.
Okay. Yeah. How'd that go?
Well, I don't want to reveal too much, but Santa does die a lingering burning death at the hands of two of his elves. Yeah,
death by gas. I like it.
Yeah, it's sad. And the reindeer are killed because they're fed guacamole with cyanide capsules in it, and it's a mess.
Nice.
You know, but sadly, that story is not in Beach Blanket Zombie. I should have put it in there. Where was my mind?
I'm guessing it was in Miami.
Doing all that face eating. By the way, on the Facebook page for Beach Blanket Zombie, which is, of course, facebook.com/beachblanketzombie, I'm sure that's a huge surprise that would be it. But the Facebook page for Beach Blanket Zombie, I posed the question, what wine for gourmet face eaters? What wine goes with face meat?
Oh, see, I did see that, and I was going to comment. But my zombie inclinations were not so much on the wine side of things. I was thinking we go with water, and it just washes everything down anyways.
Oh, well, I had some really good guesses. You know, I know that I think that there was red wine was a guess. Sangria was a guess. My favorite guess of all was, of course, blush wine. Face, meat, blush, yeah. The answer, it's a trick question. It's peppermint schnapps.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't ask the trick questions. I know. But I was hoping somebody would get it. Although blush, I liked blush, though.
Blush would work. I would have gone with that myself.
Yeah, I think blush would be an acceptable alternative for the peppermint schnapps. But I'll tell you some of the titles of the story. You know, you seem to like the title for Deck the Halls with Guacamole.
Oh, absolutely. Throw out some of those titles. They sound like they're fun.
I'll give you some of the titles, some of the stirring titles from the many stories in Beach Blanket Zombie, which, by the way, has, I got a copy in front of me, which has 247 pages.
Gadzooks.
Well, no, 248, but the last pages just made in USA on the back. So 248 pages. And I assure you, when I said this copy, not only this copy, but all copies have 248 pages. No one's going to get a copy with just like 193 pages. You know?
But I want a copy that only has 247 pages.
Well, you just have to gnash them out with your little zombie teeth. Make that little noise while you do it. Make a noise like the Zuni fetish doll as you're gnashing them out with your zombie teeth. You know. Okay, so I'll read you some of the titles of some of the stories in Peach Blanket Zombie.
Do it.
Okay. Now, here's a story, the first one, called Peach Blanket Zombie. Yeah, you weren't expecting that, were you?
Whoa, my mind is now blown with that in the title. I don't know if I can deal with this anymore. Okay, I think that's it.
Yeah. And then we got another pulse-pounding story. It's about a guy whose name is, the main character is a guy named Claude, and his last name is Balls. And so it's the agony of Claude Balls. It's a terrifying story. And there's three cheers for the dead bite and chew. And let's see. And there's also another story called I've Got Those Synthetic Zombie Penis Andy Warhol Came from Venus Cha-Cha Dancing Headless Movie Mama Blues.
Okay.
It's a story of devout Amish faith and devotion, as you can tell clearly. Mm-hmm. From the title. And let's see. There's another story. Oh, and there's some stories about those old, sometimes enemies, sometimes colleagues of zombies, the internet witches. We have...
They're everywhere.
Oh, they're everywhere. Everywhere the internet is, them internet witches is too. And we got the story, the five most loathsome secrets of the internet witches. So those who want to know the five most loathsome secrets of the internet witches better know this, because if they don't, they could easily be attacked by an internet witch.
Or, as we like to call it, run afoul of them.
Run afoul. Oh, you got it. And if they do, they'll tear your head off, sew it on backwards, and turn you into an internet zombie.
Yay!
Yes, they have backwards heads. And another story, and there's some stories from Zombie Island, which was run by an evil zombie princess named Necrilda Voltaire.
There is no such thing as evil zombies. We are the friends of the universe.
Well, it's not so much that they're evil. They just have their own sense of good and what's good for them.
I'll grant you that. Yeah, okay, I'll agree with that.
Flesh eating, it's good for them, therefore it's good.
Absolutely.
And then there's other stories, including chilling story set in the depths of outer space called Tell Your Secrets to the Slime.
Okay.
Another provocative story, Melina Mavrodakis and the Five Something or Others of the Apocalypse. And the Bloody Woman and the Chameleon Man, also known as Mom and Dad. Yes. And a story Notes Concerning the Death and or Decomposition of Reality.
Reality is an illusion that most people are too unwilling to hit that target properly.
That's what I've always thought.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was part one of our interview with Mark McLaughlin.
Yay! Encore, encore!
Next week, we will bring part two! Just to spice it up some. Ooh, that was me. I coughed. I'm sorry. My bad. So I hope you enjoyed that fun time with Mr. Mark. He's a fun feller, and he seems to like some beaches. Those beaches, they're everywhere. Beaches are not just people. Well, maybe they are.
Wait, so the beaches are the zombies?
No, they're the zombie birthing grounds.
Oh.
Or at least according to Mark.
I hope the beach I'm going to this weekend isn't like that.
You need to check out a movie called... what the hell was it? Buckets of Blood. It's about these beaches that just sort of keep swallowing up people.
Okay, I can't watch that till after my vacation. You'll make it so I won't want to set foot on a beach and therefore won't get into my bathing suit.
Oh, okay. So, at the top of the hour, we did your top fives and bottom five. And I have a couple of top fives and a section of bottom fives here. But I watched a lot of movies in my life. So I've actually got top five comic book movies, top five zombie movies, and top five movies of all time.
You have a lot of tops.
Well, dudes, I got lots of movies, man. Lots of movies. I enjoy the watching of the video and the movies and stuffs. So, I'm going to start with, in no particular order, let's go to zombie movies. Yay, zombie movies.
Woohoo!
So everybody knows I like zombie movies. So I'm going to give you my top five movies.
No.
They're not in any particular order because I'm not one of these people who actually say, that's my favorite movie of all time. No, that one is. No, that one. Because it changes all the time. So my top five zombie movies are, in no particular order, The Evil Dead, Pontypool, Shaun of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, the original, and a movie called Wreck. And I'll give you a little bit of why I like them all. Wreck is a Spanish movie, subtitled. I think you can get it dubbed now, too. It's a really good movie because it's fun. It takes the genre of The Living Dead and changes it up quite a bit. The sequel movie, Wreck 2, came out a couple years ago, and it takes that basic story premise and amps it up even more and gives you a completely different spin on what zombies are. Wreck 3, which is supposed to be due out this year, is sort of like a precursor type thing, and it goes into, let's have a wedding and really mess people up. Cool. Night of the Living Dead, the original, with George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead. Awesome movie, because it really shows you what could be done just on story and character and people. It was done in a time when special effects really, it was just a little bit of makeup and costume, and you couldn't do much more than that. And they really presented a really awesome story about, well, how are people going to react if the end of the world happened and that was the way it happened? So I think it was one of those movies that was, I would say it probably is what brought the zombie culture into play. And I think zombie culture in and of itself is mostly a visual medium, because it seems to be that everybody who's a fan of zombies is more a fan of the movies than books. The books are great too, but the movies is what seems to sell it for people on the all the zombie stuff. So Shaun of the Dead, I'm sure you've seen that one, right? Jazzy?
Actually have not seen Shaun of the Dead.
Oh my goodness.
I saw Night of the Living Dead, though.
Well, yeah? I would hope so. I mean, you are on a show with a zombie here, right?
Right.
Okay. So Shaun of the Dead.
I'm bringing cookies, right?
Yes. And you've got a spare supply of duct tape, I believe? Okay.
Do you mind purple duct tape?
Is it a dark purple? Like royal purple? The magenta, almost kind of dark crimsony type black purple? Because I like that color.
It's kind of a violet purple.
Dark violet?
Medium.
Oh, okay. That's fine then. Okay. So, Shaun of the Dead is a humorous zombie movie, which, think of Harry Potter meets Night of the Living Dead, without the magic stuff. Because it's all British. It's the only thing I'd come up with close enough to quick it on it. Now, the other two movies that I put in my top five, Pontypool and Evil Dead, I will be really surprised if anybody in the chat room knows Pontypool. It's a Canadian movie set on the border of Ontario and Quebec, a small town in which the zombie outbreak occurs, but transmission is by language, which is weird and neat, and the idea behind it is just, I think, really cool, because instead of biting people and spreading fluids and that's how you get infected, the infection is created by a mass hysteria, by one guy talks to another guy, and for whatever reason, in that language transmission, the virus is transferred from one person to the other, really, really messing people up. And I have to let Jack know if he does. Then yes, he gets a cookie. It's a very small run movie. I don't think it ever made it out to theaters, but I think it's fun. If anybody who's wants to watch a neat and different, smart adaptation of what a zombie outbreak could be like, that's a good movie. Now, The Evil Dead is just basically a classic. It's you could debate whether or not they're zombies or demons and whatever, but there's dead things that rise up. Oh! Sorry, I just had to add another movie to my honorable mentions. Because I just thought of it. So Evil Dead, just fun. I watched it when I was a kid, and it was like, oh my god, that's funny, hilarious stuff. Look at that. Oh, goodness. Kandarian demons, they're everywhere. So, as I mentioned, with each of the top five sections, I have honorable mentions. So for my zombie selections, I have this small list of movies as honorable mentions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Excellent. Doghouse, I Sell the Dead, ZMD, Zombies of Mass Destruction, Dead Snow, 28 Days Later, Reanimator, Dead Girl, Ed and His Dead Mother, Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, and Cabin in the Woods. Do you recognize any of those movies, Jazzy?
28 Days Later.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed it a lot. Is that the only one?
Yeah.
Okay. I am not surprised.
I tend to stay away from the horror-style movies.
Okay.
Because I scare easily.
This is going to be the 4-minute synopsis of all of these movies. Doghouse. British movie. Bunch of guys deciding to get away from the girls because, well, the one guy just got dumped, so he's going through a sad moment. Oh, sad. They've decided to hightail it to a small town in the middle of, like, nowhere land in England because it's the highest per capita women per capita, yada, yada, yada. They get there. Ooh, it's weird. What's going on? Place is odd. Zombies! And it's fun. There are some scenes in there. I can't really go into them because it spoils it, so I'm not saying anything, but there are scenes in there that are just bust out gut laughing. It's like, oh my goodness, that's just hilarious. So, next one, I Sell the Dead. Another humorous movie, which features, of all people, Ron Perlman's in it, and one of the Hobbits. Can you guess which one? Hobbitses? Hobbitses. Hobbitses. I can't remember his name, but he was also the guy who was in Lost. He was the troublemaker, the one always knocking stuff over, getting into trouble. Him!
So, I never watched Lord of the Rings or Lost.
Okay. Fine. Be that way. Fine.
My brother tried to get me to watch Lord of the Rings. He's like, oh, there's a cute guy in it. I'm like, oh, who?
You
watched a little bit of it. I'm like, I don't see any cute guys.
You'd probably like Legolas, the elven guy with the bow and arrow stuff. All the women like him.
He was talking about Orlando
Dominic
Bloom,
Monaghan.
It didn't look like Orlando Bloom.
Yes, it's Orlando Bloom. He's very pretty in the movie. You'd probably like him. I wasn't a big fan of him. I liked Gimli the dwarf. He was funny. So, next movie. Zombies of Mass Destruction. The name alone should sell it to you. It's a fun movie. Zombie outbreak on a small island. Fun. So those three you might actually be able to enjoy because they're comedies. Dark humor, fun bits, fun stuff. Oh, look, scary stuff. Kind of a mix. Dead Snow. German Nazis, zombies showing up in the middle of the mountains in the snow. And mayhem ensues. Yay. It's very violent. It's very bloody. It's very gory. And that one probably you would not want to watch. 28 Days Later, obviously, England outbreak, blah, 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 blah. Reanimator, based on H.P. Lovecraft's stories. Young man, well, kind of obsessive, wants to find the answer to making better lives for people. Develops a serum. Guess what? Makes zombies! Dead Girl. Now we're going to get into the weird movies. Dead Girl is about a dead girl found in a hospital, psychiatric hospital, by two young kids, and she's a zombie. And the young kids are curious. What do you think happens? Oh.
My guess is she turns them into a zombie.
Nope. They have some fun. We won't go into it. You got to watch the movie. It's a messed up movie. It's really slow at first, but it gets messed up. Next one, Ed and his dead mother. That should give it away for you quite a bit. It's kind of a comedy as well. Guy gets a serum to bring his mother back to life from a corporation. Guess what? Mother likes to eat dead things. Living things. It's funny. Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, another Canadian movie that was probably the first horror movie I ever watched that made me go, oh my goodness, that's neat. Playing on an island, accidentally raising the dead. Hey, party! One of the goriest movies of the time that ever came out was weird, but fun. And the thing that I just thought of, one of the movies that I wanted to mention as honorable mentions, Cabin in the Woods. Awesome movie, fun, weird. Can we select redneck zombies who like to inflict pain, please? Ting. There's just a scene in there that's just hilarious because it's got zombies. So that's my top five zombie movies. So the next one is my top five comic book movies. First, everybody should know this one already. The Avengers. That is my number one favorite comic book movie out of all time right now. That movie is awesome. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Sin City, Kick-Ass, and Hellboy. Very fun movies. I'm not going to talk about them because everybody should know what they are. They're all top movies.
And I agree with EW. Kick-Ass is good.
Kick-Ass was... they're making a sequel. Oh, sorry, they're working on a sequel. I don't know if they've got the Crips script done or whatever. But those ones are awesome. My honorable mentions, which you all may or may not know these movies. One was just mentioned a little while ago by EW. Hancock, Watchmen, The Mask, Darkman, V for Vendetta, Toxic Avenger, Blade, Tank Girl, and Iron Man. And I like Captain America too, so whatever. All of those movies started as comic books first.
Oh my god, totally forgot about The Mask.
Yes, and don't forget The Son of the Mask, which was horrible. But we're not going to go there.
So those... I used to have a dog like the one in The Mask.
So those really don't require much in the way of explanation. I'm sure everybody knows those ones. Now, my top five movies of all time are what I like to call game changers. These movies set a bar that are just plain awesome. And this is the year that my number one movie has actually changed for the first time in 15 years. My number one movie of all time right now is The Avengers. I love this movie, and it is just pure, awesome, win, fun, cool. Before, my number one movie was Army of Darkness, which is essentially Evil Dead 3. I love that movie because it's just, how much fun can we make of fun of stuff? And that's okay, and all within a low budget. And next one.
Oh, yeah.
Lord of the Rings. All three parts, it's one movie, yo. One movie, all three of them. 12 hours of continuous. Wow, look at all the pretty hobbitses. My next one would be a movie called Equilibrium, which may be also an odd movie for some people to watch, but it has Christian Bale in it, and it's a good little thing with, well, one of the main concepts in the movie was, you know how you've got karate? You know, martial arts and stuff like that is, hey, moving body, go do stuff, and bam. Well, what if you used guns and included that as part of the weapon strategy on how to maximize hit ratios on using guns and martial arts in general? I love that movie. Everybody should watch that movie. When they announced Christian Bale was going to be Batman, it was Equilibrium and American Psycho, those two movies who said, yeah, he can pull that part off because he's good at that. Yeah, watch him do this Batman movie. It'll be awesome. And my next favorite would be Serenity. I love this movie because you can take a great script and a great cast of characters and make an awesome movie. And you'll find that both of these two movies, Serenity and Avengers, Joss Whedon, awesome director boy. Yeah. So some of my other honorable mentions for top movies of all time, Alien, Brotherhood of the Wolf, Demolition Man, Forbidden Planet, Godzilla, Dog Soldiers, Akira, Ghost in the Shell, The Fifth Element, Frankenstein, Highlander, Life Force, and Zombieland. Have you seen any of those movies, Jazzy? Come on,
no.
You've seen Fifth Element.
Is Fifth Element have the happy face with the bullet?
No, that's Watchmen. That's Watchmen. Fifth Element has Mila Jovovich. Okay, fine. So now...
I'm not sure if I've seen that one.
Now we've only got a few minutes left, so I'm going to go straight into my bottom five of all time. I'm going to just say these five movies, plus my three dishonorable mentions, and go into them a little bit. Battlefield Earth, MOVA Zombie Ass Kicker, Day the Earth Stood Still, the remake, Battleship, and yes, Jack, Catwoman. Those are my five worst movies of all time. With honorable mention going to A Christmas Story, hate that movie, Spider-Man 3 and X-Men 3, and I'd put in a couple of other movies there, but yeah, there's too many to say. So, Battlefield Earth had an awesome basis of story. They had money behind them, and they made a piece of crap. The movie could have been great. They don't explain anything in it like the book does. The book is great. I mean, it was an awesome story. I mean, it's huge. It's one of the first books. It's like 900 pages or whatever. And it's a good, well-written, easy-to-follow, straightforward science fiction story that's, yeah, look at that stuff go. But they killed the movie. It was horrible. The same idea with Day the Earth Stood Still. Why did they make a remake? It was a perfectly good movie from the 50s. That movie rocked, stood on its own, and talked to all sorts of ills of society and everything. But the Keanu Reeves remake? What the hell was this piece of crap? Oh, by the way, Ron Mexico, I like Buckaroo Banzai. That movie rocked. Day the Earth Stood Still killed me. I just... ugh. Battleship? This one movie is come out. This came out this year. The premise for the movie is dumb as hell. The science in the movie is dumb as hell. It doesn't work. The science is just, wow, really? You could have had a really cool idea based on a board game. I mean, okay, fine, hokey to start with that, but fine, whatever. Something could have been done with that, but not this. This was crap. Pure and utter crap. MOVA Zombie Ass Kicker. I think the only real... It's a really low budget, bad movie. I don't think it was really taking itself seriously. I don't think the people had much premise on it. But that one character drew me up the wall, and I just couldn't get over it. She had this horrible voice, eating the chocolate syrup, and it was... bleh! Now, the absolute worst and utter piece of crap, Catwoman. This movie should never have been made. Not with Halle Berry. I like Halle Berry. She looked nice. She looked hot. It wasn't Catwoman. It was a piece of duty. Transformers I could have at least lived with, JWF, but Catwoman was pure and complete utter poop. And A Christmas Story I just don't like because my parents made me watch it every Christmas when I was young, and I hate that kind of thing. Blah! And X-Men, Spider-Man, they just tried too hard to put too much stuff into it, the third movies of those, and just killed it completely. And on that merry note, join us next week with part two of our Mark McLaughlin interview and more fun stuff. And coming up next on Free Pie Night, we have a fine fellow joining EW. His name is Jason Scott. He's a tribute singer for Neil Diamond. Jazzy?
Yes?
We're out of here.
Bring on the Neil Diamond tribute singer.
If you go go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.